Okay, we're here today on the Sports Center. It's 14 April, and we're sitting in the CPOA lounge, and I'm going to have an oral history interview with Mr. Larry O'Hara, and we're going to talk a little about his experiences with Coast Guard's Santa Claus Revealies Christmas. Anyhow, I guess we'll start out with how you got here, Larry, and...
Well, I came up here originally with as assigned by the FDNCC people out of Seattle for the construction of the new admin building and the daycare center and a lot of other work that was going on and has continued over the years. Came from Seattle and had been there for 10 years. Prior to that, I was over in Ellensburg, Washington, and migrated there from North Dakota, which was my home state. And that's where we first started the Santa Claus in 1958 at the request of a friend of mine, a guy by the name of Clyde Bullock. And so I did it off and on, and didn't do it real steady, you know, the Santa Claus. But I got up here and at the old exchange in Building 26, they were looking for a guy with a big belly, I guess, more than anything, so I was just more than glad to do it with a borrowed suit. And I guess that was the start of it all. And then I was invited to participate in many other activities with the Santa Claus and on the base here and within the local community. That particular year, which was 1984, I was invited to go to the villages, and I had the opportunity to go to Akiak and Old Harbor. I was just so thrilled that it was really it's such a great program, and Jane Clark is to be thanked for that, because Jane is the one, her and Captain Clark, when he was up here, they originated this, and I don't remember the year, but some odd years ago, and it's continued by the Officers' Wives Club, and it's administered by them. But everybody participates. So there is no gender, and it don't matter who your husband or wife is. Everybody participates from the local community, as well as all of the wives and the guys here on the base. So I've been so fortunate to able to go to all the villages. Akiak and Old Harbor were my favorites, of course, and I've got to go to each and every one of the villages, including the Danger Bay area. That was quite an experience in itself. When we first went there, they didn't know what to expect, I guess. They just said to come and have Santa Claus come. And when we tried to land the H-3, there was barrels and paper and tin cans flying all over, and we had to abort until they got the area cleaned up so we could come in and land. Very, very cold day that day, I remember.
Remember what year that was, Larry?
That was 1988. Yeah, 88. Maybe, yeah, 88. I have the records at home. I'm sorry, I don't have them here, Pete. We've had some great experiences by videotaping, you know, from helicopter to helicopter, and I've had the opportunity to fly in the H-3 and the H-65 the first year it came up here, and it's Santa Claus was kind of privileged. He got to ride where it was warm and quiet. Everybody else got to ride in the H-3 where it was cold and very noisy. But we've had some great experiences with Santa to the villages. I've had the great opportunity to have an interview with Marion Stirrup, and I have to get the year for you, but it was in the Alaska Magazine on Lasting Impressions. And there was an article in there, and I feel very, very, very fortunate, and I feel very privileged to be part of this. and to, you know, I think sometimes maybe we're getting too big for our britches, for me anyway. You know, they had even a couple of years ago a short blurb, 10 seconds maybe, on national television on CNN. Sue Workman, Lieutenant J.G. Sue Workman, our ensign, I believe at the time, submitted that, and it did get national recognition. So, and I always chose Old Harbor Naukiak, I guess, Pete, because I a tremendous amount of history in these villages, listening to the people, talking to the people, talking to the school teachers, and it's really. It's ironic that when you go there as Santa Claus, you know everybody, but they don't know who you are. So when you come back into Kodiak here and you see so many of these people on the street, and you say, well, hi, how are you doing today, and call them by name, and they look at you like, I don't know who you are, but they don't dare say anything. They dare, but they don't want to, I guess, maybe through embarrassment. But I had a great experience with a young student at Old Harbor. Her name was Molly Moore, and when I first started going there, Molly was a slow learner. She was in special ed, I guess is maybe the word I should use, and when we first landed, this is before the 65 got up here, and I believe it was 1985, Christmas 85, and we landed, the helicopter was landed, and of course, the students were all ecstatic and outside, and the snow was flying. And again, it was a beautiful, sunshiny day, but a lot of snow flying. And so we, everybody went inside of the school. You know, they ran inside because, again, it was cold. And all of a sudden, I noticed when the snow had settled down a little bit, this one small young person, this young lady, was standing off to the side. So I went over and I grabbed her hand and asked her if she'd show me how to get into the gym, which she did. And I learned a lot about Molly on the way in, and so we walked in, and probably a couple hundred feet or so. And over the years, I here asked a great feeling for Molly Moore, because she again waited for me after everybody was gone, and she showed me how to get back outside again. and then a couple years later, I remember very, very explicitly that she got a little stuffed poodle, white poodle. And I asked her what she was going to name the poodle, and she said, I don't know, Santa, I'd like you to name it for me. So I couldn't think of a name, and I used to have a little poodle, my wife and I. We called it Taffy. So I said, well, how about if we call it Taffy? And I thought, I'll be able to remember that name. So, of course, in March or April, we get letters from the students, and Santa does. It said, I'm doing fine, and I thank you for all my toys, and Taffy's doing well. So the next year, of course, we asked Molly how she was doing, and very well. And of course, she was very, very excited when I remember her name, because she said, he remembered me, he remembered me.
Very special.
Yeah, very special. And in my heart, she'll always have that place in my heart. And I asked her, I said, well, how's Taffy doing? And she was just shocked that Santa Claus could remember all this stuff. And they always ask a lot of questions, you know, how come you didn't bring your reindeer? Well, the reindeer are resting for Christmas Eve, or you didn't have enough snow, and we didn't want them to be really tired out for Christmas Eve. And so you have to come up with a lot of excuses of why you don't have reindeer. You know, you have this helicopter. And and then Molly moved from there, and I've lost track of Molly now the last few years, but always to be remembered as a good memory. And she had grown up into be a proper young lady, and so, and her mother at least taught school, and I don't know if her father did or not out there, but I believe her parents taught school in Old Harbor. So it's yeah, Santa to the villages is when we talk about history within Alaska, I think it's part of the history of Alaska, not only because I am part of that program and have been part of it, and hope to continue to be part of it as long as I am able to and live here in Kodiak. But the great things that that come from it, the rapport, when we look at history, you know, we talk about the disturbances that happened between the natives, etc., and the Russians, and all this before, in the beginning of time, of our island. I think that you know, the current day history is the rapport that we have with the village people, and knowing them, them knowing us here as Coast Guard, and we're just, I think we're so fortunate and blessed to have this program and to be able to continue with it. We need to keep supporting it in the strongest way that we possibly can.
Our support is making pretty much the town helps you support as far as the gifts.
Yeah, the town, a lot of the gifts are donated. Apples and oranges are donated, you know, either by the by NAFA or by Washington Growers of the Apples. Money-wise, there's a lot of money that is contributed by organizations. I'm sure the CPOA, I know the Rotary donates money to the Canada the Village program. The borough, we had to, we went prepared to lobby for no cut last year. And when we got there, they had readjusted their budget. And we had the full amount, I believe it was $1,500 that the borough donates. But it's a very large commitment in dollars. I'd have to, you would have to check with the Wives Club, but if I'm thinking in good terms, I believe that it's like in $4,000 to $5,000 a year program, that monies that's needed plus all, plus the donations, and the toys we get are very, very good. They're not cheap toys. They're very, very good toys. Motorized cars and squeaking dolls and talking dolls and dolls that wet and
cry.
I mean, yes. I mean, these are grade A, and that's why it's so important. I think to when I speak of Santa to the Villages, Pete, I think of the program. I think of a selfish way because of the great joy that it brings me personally, but I also think of the joy that it brings those children, and it, you know, the happiness that you can bring to them. It's just, you can't even put words to it, because it is sometimes, I believe, one of the nicest gifts that they get. And they don't see Santa Claus like we do downtown here in Kodiak, and for sure not as you see in Anchorage or Seattle. You know, you go downtown every day of the week and you see 15 or 20 or 50 Santa Clauses, so that's got to be confusing. And I'm very discreet with my Santa Claus suit on. I don't go downtown with it on unless I'm going somewhere, and I'm very, very discreet, because I don't want anybody to see Santa Claus doing something that Santa shouldn't be doing or out of character. Santa Claus, you know, I wouldn't even think of having alcohol on my breath when I'm doing any Santa Claus, and I just really, really watch all the things that I do. And with you know, back to the gifts, the gifts are ordered through either the exchange, sometimes through Wadlinger's and the merchants downtown have all been very, very generous. They can't give us that many, and we can't give us that much, but they can give us a price break on some of the stuff, and they've done that. And the participation of the people downtown needs to continue. And maybe, you know, as we go through our budget cuts and all this kind of stuff that we're now facing with the deficits, it's hurting us locally here too. I think it's even more meaningful that we as individuals try to help the program as much as we can. And so, and I'm, as you can tell, I'm a great supporter of it.
That's great.
I
Dead space is okay.
I like the idea, you know, of the military civilian interface that we have here with between the support center and the air station. We've got a good rapport, and the interface that we have is it don't matter, you know, what color, creed, religion. About the only thing you have to do is you have to be able to either have a big old belly on you, or you have to be able to tape one on somehow. So, but there's a lot of people. Captain Gravino went out. Captain Cummings a couple of years ago, you know, on the support center here, put the Santa Claus suit on. So there's a lot of people involved, and not, you know, it's with Santa to the villages, but it rubs off and stays within the base. You know, we're at the exchange, and we go to people's homes, and I go to people's homes on Christmas Eve. I have them give me gifts that day, and I put them in a paper sack with their name on it. And it's unbelievable when some young person answers the door. And I remember Ed Randolph's son when he was in like 1987, I believe it was, that I rang the doorbell, and this young man, probably 4 or 5 years old, came to the door, and he said, "There really is a Santa Claus! There really is a Santa Claus!" And he was ecstatic, dressed in his tuxedo, and really, that child was a believer from then on, I'm sure, and maybe still is.
Gee, Larry, aren't you?
I'm a believer.
Yeah, I still would believe it too. Yeah.
You can make 8, 9, 10, and maybe even some 11-year-olds. You can still make them believe. What I do is I find out mostly good things about the person if I go to the home of their good things that they're doing either in school, they're doing at home, or they've been helping somebody else shovel their sidewalk. And then I find out something they haven't been doing very well, just something that bugs the parents probably. Don't brush their teeth, don't pick up their room, don't light their spinach or something. And I'll mention that to them when I'm sitting with them. And I take the time with each student, and I refuse to be rushed. Mm-hmm. I don't care if we get back at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, but I will spend time with each individual. I just will not be rushed, because they have something to say, and I want them to be able to say it. So I really, really enjoy when you can make this, this one 11-year-old boy, he was 10 and a half, I guess, from California, and he was concerned. He and his family were up here visiting, and the little girl, his sister, was concerned, very concerned that she had seen Santa Claus down in San Diego, but she forgot to tell him where she was going to be, and she thought, well, he wasn't going to be able to find her. And so I said, well, no, I saw you in San Diego, and I don't remember the name of the mall. And her mother had told me all this stuff, and then this young man over there was watching me out of the corner of his eye, and I said, and I understand that you like Hank Aaron real well, and that you have his batting average down pretty good. We were talking just casually and watching him, and I spent about an hour in that house. When I left there, he was a believer.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He was a believer. How does this Santa Claus know all this stuff? Yeah, right. So I'm here from San Diego, and he know all. He's really watching me here.
Good. And you make such a nice one too. I can remember the first time bringing the kids in for Santa Claus breakfast over pancakes here at the Anchor, and you and your wife Frida there was Mr. Claus.
Yeah.
And so you really put so much in. You are believable.
Yeah, and you it's great that my wife Frida
can. You can get me to believe a little bit.
Until presents don't count. Or
I get presents.
Until you get a new Jeep. But my wife, the last 3 years now, has made her own. She makes my outfits for me. And other than the beard and the hair, that is, you have to buy those, purchase those. But she makes my suits for me, and she made her own dress in Mrs. Claus suit. And when she can't go, she lets other people borrow that. So it continues, and they don't know who's under that suit, you know, and under the beard especially. But I believe it was 1989 that we went to Old Harbor in Akiak, and Lou Magyar was flying this small plane, and Frida, my wife, and Judy Cornwell, and don't remember who else it was right now, but we got back at about 75 feet off the water, and they got stuck out there for 3 days, and they had the time of their life. The people of, I'm sorry, this was in Old Harbor, I said Akia, and the people of Old Harbor, the motel was brand new, the restaurant was brand new, so they got to make their own bed with brand new linen and brand new beds, and they had a Spanish cook, a Mexican restaurant, and it was great food. and they got to tour the school, to visit the classrooms, and to play bingo with the natives, and they had the time of their life, and never to be forgotten.
It surprises, you know, I never think of any villages having a hotel, and I think of it, well, a few families here and there, a school, a church, a public safety officer they have out there, and well, you know, you mentioned hotel.
Yeah, I didn't know it was there either, but yeah, they have in Old Harbor, they have a motel, and like Larson Bay and some of these places, they have a lodge, but that's open seating, if you want to say. It's a bunch of bunk beds in a place, but I've never been in this motel at Old Harbor myself, but from everything I've heard, it's a nice place, and it's a great place to eat. And I plan to go out there just to fly out and have lunch someday and then come back again.
Someone told me you could ride the ferry over or fly out and ride the ferry back. And, you know, one of those main things you want to do sometime out there. But, yeah, I understood that, you know, you'd ride out with the helicopter and the support group sometime. I misunderstood it too, that they'd fly in on out there or something like that. So actually someone has actually donated their time and airplane to take you there?
When Lou was here, yes, when Lou was here, the flying club donated the air time, even the fuel and everything, and the pilot. The last couple of years now, Mark Air Express and Pan Air has flown the helpers, other than civilian. Headquarters has kind of put a clamp to us a little more with civilians riding in the helicopters. We have to get a waiver for civilians, even though if you work here on the base, you still have to have a waiver from headquarters. But we're still able to ride the helicopter, and Santa's able to ride the helicopter. But the helpers are now riding in style also with the the commercial air. But we hope to this year to talk to the flying club again and hope that they will start flying to people again. They're becoming more active again.
Oh, villages. You mentioned Antioch, Old Harbor,
Larson Bay.
Carlock,
Ozinki, Danger Bay, Port Lyons.
Talking kids-wise, we're talking hundreds?
Oh, we're talking over... totally over 500 children in all, combined of schools.
No kidding.
Yeah, over 500. And I used to try to remember some specific thing about each one of the small schools, but I had to give that up because it was just too much memory for me in such a short time. What I do request from the coordinator of the Officer's Wife Club is the names of the students the day before we go out. And the reason for that is pronunciation. It's really hard to pronounce some of these children's names, last names especially, the first few years that you do it. After a while, you get used to pronouncing their names because it's families live there, so it's just a repetition. But with the people changing as much as they do, and sometimes you'll find this student in Larson Bay this year and maybe in Carlock next year. So those are the things that I try to remember a little bit, and especially about everybody from the newborn through the great-grandmother are welcome to come up and sit on Santa's lap. Only the students are given presents, or children, I should say. I shouldn't say students. Children up through high school, through senior high, and they will come and sit on your lap. Sometimes they're a little embarrassed, but you try to make them as relaxed as you can. Some very sad times, when you go to some of these villages where there's been sorrow, boat accident and drownings and in the fishing industry. So you express your condolences when you first get there, and then you get on with the program of Santa, because you can't dwell on that or things are just too sad all the way through. Yeah, so the first thing you do when you get in there, or the first thing I do, and this is also how I coach others, is, that do go, is you get off that helicopter and you shake as many hands and give as many hugs and hold as many babies. It's like the political world, only you're not running for nothing. You're there because it's such a great time. But you carry children. You make sure that you don't slip or something. But they're just very kind to us. You know, the villagers are very good to us as well. But you you take these people and you talk to them on their, this is their turf. You talk to them in their village and how are things going. And I'm sincere when I ask this. I don't think they really recognize that. But when you start talking as Santa Claus and you use humor with them, and by golly, it's amazing pretty soon how they'll come around.
Yeah, open up
and in the good things that they say about the program. I have never, since 1984, so this will be the ninth year, since 1984, I have never heard one bad comment about Santa to the villagers. Now, maybe I'm guarded from that, I don't know, but...
Well, who can complain about Santa Claus?
That's exactly right.
Especially when you're not there to do them a favor.
Yeah.
Here, I'm here to do you a favor.
Yeah.
The next thing you
know. And we just go to give. We accept or we expect nothing. We do come back with, good gosh, we come back with strawberry cake and cookies and chocolate chip cookies and popcorns and Christmas cards you wouldn't believe and candies. And after the fact, I got one big card at home. It's about 18 inches wide and about 2.5 feet tall. And it's signed by numerous amount of people in Old Harbor. I'll keep that. That'll be part of my my Alaska room when I retire, in my Kodiak room. But after the fact, as I mentioned earlier, is Santa Claus continues to get mail in February, March, and April. I've never got any later than April, but cards from the school, again, saying thank you, and we are awaiting your return next year, looking forward to it. That sort of thing. So they're excited about it too. You know, they're excited and pleased.
The big highlight of the year, imagine, for the village, huh?
I'm told that by the teachers over and over and over and again, because with the cuts that we were facing even last year, we noticed a little that we were talking about cutting back a little bit, and the expression from the teachers and the people who we talk to in the village is that's the highlight of the year. This is something they look forward to all year long. It's something that just can't stop. It just can't stop. It needs a boost. That's exactly right, Pete. It does.
Full-time staff? Is there the Officers' Wife Club, of course, is a parent organization.
No full-time staff. It's all voluntary. They'll have one chairman or maybe a co-chairman person. The most I've seen is two people. And they're the people that coordinate this on a year-round basis.
Well, I mis-expressed when I said full-time staff. What I meant is it goes from December to December.
December to December.
You start organizing for next year today.
Definitely. Yeah, they're right now, they're working on contributions. They're working on getting the toys. You got to start ordering the toys, you know, in the summertime is when you start thinking about all these things. Because orders, probably the first part of August is when you start ordering the toys, and then bagging all this stuff up, as you've seen when we put them on the helicopter, just 8-10 bags, you know, for some of the bigger villages. So there's
an hours of paper folding and scotch tape, huh?
My. They have what they call wrapping parties at one of the vacant houses over the years. That's what it's been. One that's been in turnaround, and the toys are spread out in different rooms of different age groups, and the coordinator again and their helper, the elves, they take these toys and they put them into different rooms in that house, and again, there's women and children and men and sailors and army people, and even one time when there was a Marine here, that we had Marine help. So there's just everybody that helps the wrapping. And this takes more than one day. It's some days. I don't remember, you know, it changes from year to year because depending on how many people you have. But it's numerous hours just to do the wrapping. And the coordinator over the years, you know, Judy Cornwell was here for, she did it for a couple of years. Teresa Hansen did it, and I'm forgetting some of these people, and I apologize. They all do such a good job. I mean, it's the Wise Club just, they handle it excellently. And it's a lot of work. A lot of work.
So how's Santa Claus hold up after all that?
Santa Claus is very, very tired. Usually Santa Claus starts in the latter days of November. I think November 26th is the earliest that I've actually started Santa Clausing, not to the villages. Started Santa Clausing in the exchange and here on the base, and it starts.
Bell ringing ceremony.
Yeah, and with the tree lighting and that sort. So we get started pretty early. The first 2 weeks of December are always set aside for Santa to the villages. That's a priority one. No matter what else comes up, you better be darn sick even before you start making excuses that you don't want to go. Everybody wants to go. But surprisingly, some years we had a hard time getting Santa Clauses. Once they did it, then you couldn't stop them. But then, of course, until we had rotating out of here, and then they go someplace else, and then we'll do it. I know I'll continue with it as long as I'm alive. But the nice thing about the program is, even though it goes for the entire month of December through Christmas Day, I don't do any on Christmas Day. I'm so tired normally by then that when I get home on Christmas Eve, about 10 o'clock normally, and I had a little motorhome, and that worked just great because we drove around town delivering presents. And here on the base, my preference, of course, is I